We're in this More Blessed sermon series, and I'm excited about it. I think it's God's got something for us. God's got something for us in as we talk about our money. But let me tell you a story. As a kid, I don't know if you guys relate to this or not, but I was a huge Pokemon nerd, big Pokemon nerd. Also collected like all sorts of trading cards. Like trading cards are like a good portion of what made up my room as a kid. Was like a bunch of trading cards. I didn't care if they were Pokemon or Yu-Gi-Oh or whatever. Like, you guys might be like, that's evil. Well, I'm from the North, and we didn't know that was evil. So we had Yu-Gi-Oh cards, and so I had a ton of them, and I kept them forever. Like, I hauled them to college, every single dorm I had a bunch of stacks, and somehow I just kept growing. I don't know. I don't remember buying them, but I had a ton of them. And so finally, like, I get married to my lovely wife, Brooke, and we move in, and my trading cards come in with me, and you know, she kind of gives that look like, really? Are you this much of a nerd? Didn't know I was getting into this. Anyway, but maybe a year ago or something, I started thinking, you know, I've got a lot of cards. I've had them for a long time. I bet they're pretty valuable. You know, people pay crazy money for Pokemon cards these days. If you don't know that, they do. So just trust me on that. So I'm like, I've got a great plan. We need a little money, you know. We're newly married. Neither of us are making the big bucks. We're like, I think I can make us some big bucks with these trading cards. So I start looking at each one. I'm literally going through every single one. I have like thousands of cards, y'all. Like, I'm going through every single one of these cards, and I'm like figuring out how much it's worth. And I'm like getting this value, and my eyes are like, what? Because I started totaling all these cards. I'm saying I about have like $1,800 right here. I'm about to go make crazy cash. $1,800 doesn't sound like a lot to y'all, but listen, thank you. Yeah, that's right. So some of y'all are like, man, this kid's only working minimum wage jobs, and you'd be right. Anyway, so I'm like, yes. I'm like, Brooke, we're going to be rich. Like, I have all of these Pokemon cards that are going to make you rich. We're going to buy a house. Come on. This was minimum wage, y'all. So anyway, we get there, and I'm like, all right, we got to go to the store. We're going to trade them in. So Brooke comes with me, and I got this bag, and I'm like, slap him on the counter. I'm like, all right, give me my money, sir. And he starts totaling him up. He's got to do the exact same thing I did, which takes him a while. And he comes back, and he goes, yeah, that'll be like, I can give you like $100. I was like, what? 100? How much? Like, I'm pretty sure, like, look, my calculator says this, and you're telling me 100? He's like, this is just not that valuable. I'm like, you're telling me this mound of cards that I've been hauling from place to place to place to place all for the last 24 years of my life is worth nothing? He's like, yep, I'll give you $100 for it. And I'm like, oh my gosh, why? I was so mad. I think I'm probably more unreasonably mad at that person than ever. Like, he didn't do anything to me. He was just, you know, he's just the dude behind the desk saying, like, this is only $100. I can take it or leave it. And I was so upset. But the reason I was upset was because I had so much value in life invested in these cards and found out that they were worth nothing. Like, for years and years and years, I had been holding on to these, and eventually I thought, I've got something of serious value here, and it was worth absolutely nothing. And man, that stunk. So here's the takeaway from that. It's a good thing my wife is the financial planner in our life. It really is. But really, I'm such a bad appraiser of value. I think we are bad appraisers of value as humans. The good thing is, I don't think Jesus wants us to stay that way, and he gives us some tips. I'm too young and too poor to actually have a financial manager. But I think Jesus gives us some pro tips. If you ever want a financial manager, we're gonna look in here at Matthew 6. We're gonna read through verses 19 through 21. And I want, right here, I think Jesus is trying to be like the best financial manager ever. Like, last, he's trying to give you like the pro tips on how to manage your money. He's telling you right here, this is how you should diversify your portfolio. So we're gonna dive into this. Again, I don't have a portfolio. I don't really even know what I'm talking about. I just know that's the thing. People with money talk about portfolios. I don't have one of those, but you might. So anyway, Jesus is talking in Matthew 19 through 21, and we're going to get there in just a second. So flip there. And I really think like that there's so much, I said this earlier, so much Jesus has for us in this area if we're open to it. There's so much that God wants to do with us in our money. And there's a reason. One of the questions that's been bugging me as we started this was, why money? Why is money so important? I don't get it. I'm the kid who like didn't work as a high schooler and wanted to go volunteer instead. My parents hated that. They're like, why? You got to work. Like, I just don't care about money. And I don't get it. And why is it such a big deal? Like, Jesus talks about 1 in 10 verses in the Gospels. 1 in 10 is about money. Why? Why is money such a big deal? Especially, like, you talk about giving. You're like, I give a lot. Like, I give a lot of my time. Like, if you're here, you know, I think a lot about Jesus. I think, you know, I put a lot of my life into God. Well, why is money such a huge thing for us? Well, I think money's unique for us because it uniquely allows us to pretend to be like God in a couple different ways. A temporary, it gives us this ability to have literally whatever we want, everything we need too. Even if for a moment, right? It gives us the ability to have provision, power maybe, right? Prestige, you know, people who are rich. Like, you got friends because you got money, maybe because you're also a good friend, but like, you can get tons of stuff, right? We can get whatever we need. We can get protection. We get pleasure, right? All of this stuff, money allows us to have that, even just for a temporary time. So it has a unique value. Nothing else in life has that kind of like ability. So money's kind of unique. Ecclesiastes 10:19 says that money answers everything. And you know, like, Solomon's right. He's like, kind of does. Like, if you got money, you pretty much got almost everything you need in this life. Right? And so we give money massive amounts of value, maybe for a reason. And so Jesus also sees the value in that, and he wants to speak to that. And so we're going to be, like I said, Matthew 6:19-21, and Jesus is really talking about your investment of money. Last week we talked about how we talked about we're just God's money managers. It's all his. We're just his money managers. And today, I think Jesus wants to give us some insight on how he wants us to invest that money, how we ought to invest. So Matthew 6:19-21 says this: "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Jesus is here making some pretty clear contrasts. Well, something that popped out to me as I was reading this is that the word "where" comes up like 5 times right here, right? Don't lay up treasures here on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in, but lay up treasures in heaven where, and then for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So, to me, I'm seeing right here, Jesus wants to tell us about the location, something about the location of our investment. Where is our money going? Jesus wants to talk about that. And he's making some two clear these are contrasts. So there's 2 different places he's talking about. So we're thinking about the places we can put our money. And he's got this one. On one side, we've got earth, right? We've got the earthly place we can put our money. And then we've got the heavenly place we can put our money. Those two are pretty clear, right? The perishable, right, where moth rust will destroy it, it's not going to last, or where it won't, where it's imperishable. So this is what Jesus is setting up. He's saying there are 2 places you can put your money. There are 2 different investment opportunities: location, location, location. And real estate, that's what they say, if you didn't know that. I just bought a house, so I know everything you need to know about real estate. Come talk to me afterwards. Well, just kidding. I did buy a house, though, so that was awesome. But seriously, location, it's about location. Where are we putting our money? Where? Is it in the here and now, or is it in the eternal? Why does it matter? Why does that matter? Yeah, it's tough for us. Like, we get that, right? The eternity is coming, and that's a lot longer than right now, but right now I need to eat, right? You know, so what do I do with this eternity versus right now investment opportunity? How do I deal with that? What is Jesus' advice on this? So the first thing I think Jesus wants to tell us is put your money where it won't be lost. That's the location, right? Put your money where it won't be lost. This is the basic principles of investing. You want something with a good security and good return, right? And sometimes we sacrifice one or the other, right? We want more security, so we go opt for less of a return on your investment. Or on the other side, you might really want the reward, so you go high risk, less security, and more reward. These are the basic principles of investing. And Jesus is talking to both of these two things right here. He says, hey, instead of, you know, high risk, high reward, or low risk, low reward, how about you just get no risk, high reward? There you go. And he's saying that, first thing, he's telling us we can have internal investment security, right? He's saying, like, put it where you won't lose it. It's like, straight up, y'all, I forgot, I lost my keys this morning. I don't know where they were. I turned out, I looked outside, they're sitting outside. Anybody could have grabbed those bad boys. My wife is not happy with me about that one. And I'm like, you know what? I could have lost my keys. Don't put them outside where you could lose them, you know? And Jesus is saying, don't put your money where it's going to go. This earth is going to vanish. It's going to be, First Corinthians talks about everything will be dissolved in the fire as the new creation comes. The old will pass away. So the old's going to pass away. So don't put it where you're going to lose it. The other thing here is there's eternal returns of heavenly treasure. Because he's not talking about, hey, just live, you know, in poverty and just give up things. And that's, what does he say? He says, actually, I want you to put your treasure somewhere else where you're going to have rewards. You know, he's saying, look, you can keep your treasure, just put it somewhere safe, and the rewards are amazing. There are eternal returns. God really, I think we often feel this tension when we hear about, like, oh, I'm doing something, I'm giving so I can get something, right? We don't feel like that's very Christian. But Jesus is saying, do you, like, act in your self-interest. There are rewards attached to this. Like he says earlier in Matthew 6, hey, when you pray, when you fast, when you give, do it in secret. Why? So your Father who sees you in heaven will reward you. Later on, or earlier in Matthew 5, he talks about those who are persecuted for my sake, will great is their reward. See, God wants to reward us, and he wants to do that in an eternal way, and in the here and now, but especially in the eternal. Especially in the eternal. There are eternal returns. Psalm 16:11 says, at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Y'all, I want those. I want those, because these pleasures, they don't really last. You know? God wants to reward us. And so we've got these two things here. We've got the eternal investment security we can have. Jesus saying, put your money where it's not going to go, and also you're going to get the best return you ever could. This is, Randy Alcorn writes a book called The Treasure Principle, and this is the key principle, takeaway. It's called The Treasure Principle. You ready? It says this, you can't take it with you, but you can send it on ahead. So I'd say that again. You can't take it with you, but you can send it on ahead, right? Eternal security for your money. Can't take it with you, but you can put it somewhere else. And then there's returns on that. There's serious returns on that. Imagine you're living at the end of the Civil War. You're from the North, like me, and you're living here in the South, and you've made a considerable amount of Confederate money. Back then, they had two different currencies, right? So in the South, you've got, in the Confederacy, they've Confederate dollars. So you've made a ton of Confederate dollars. You've got a ton of that. But imagine you know that you're about, that the war is about to be over, the North is about to win, and all that Confederate dollars you got mean absolutely nothing. You got an option. You got some time before that happens, right? You know it's coming. You know it's eventually but you can either hang on to all that, or you can exchange it for Northern dollars, keeping only what you need to survive on until the war's over, because the Northern dollar is the only thing that's going to have value afterwards. So this is kind of an illustration to say this is what Jesus is recommending to us. Look, the war's already over, y'all. War's already over, and look, George Washington ain't coming out on top. Our paper money ain't gonna mean squat in the next life. That's all I'm saying. But we can change it. We can exchange it for something eternal. We can exchange what we have right now. Jesus, every single bit of treasure, possession that you have, everything you give to Jesus becomes eternal. You can transfer everything you have into eternal reward, and that's the key here. You can't take any of this with you. From dust you came, and from dust you will return. Naked we came into this world, naked we will return. but you can send it on ahead. That's pretty solid financial advice, y'all. I'm really, like I said earlier, I'm not good with money. So thankful for my wife. She is incredible with money. But I've learned so much. And it's handling your money well is simple. And Jesus is making it real simple for us. High reward, high security, invest in the eternal. So put your money where it won't be lost. That's the first thing I think he wants us to learn about being his money managers. Second thing here is that he says something I think it just pierces me. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. That's tough. I think we kind of flip that. Like we feel the other way. Like I put money into what I love, right? I love my house, so I'm going to put money into it so it stays up. You know, I love my kids, so I'm going to pour out money on them. Or, you know, I've been in fundraising for a while. People love what they give to, right? They love, I love my school, so I'm going to give to it. Okay, yeah, that's great. But Jesus flips that. He says, actually, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So your heart's following your treasure. That's interesting. What does my bank account say about where my heart is? When I was in college, I thought it was so cool. I get these weird ideas in my head, and this is one of them. I thought it was like the coolest style ever to like wear just a baseball jersey for fun. I didn't have any, so I went on eBay, and I'm like, cheap baseball jersey. And you know, like if they have a name on them, like they're super expensive. So I looked for one without a name, like just take that off there, and like I didn't even care if it was knockoff or whatever. And I didn't really even care what team it was for. I was just like, find me a baseball jersey. I gotta look cool. So I finally get one, and it's a Minnesota Twins jersey, and it's like three sizes too big, and it's like a dress on me. I don't care. I think I look cool. So I'm wearing this thing around, and I'm like, yeah. They're like, oh, you're a Twins fan? I'm like, yeah, I'm a Twins fan. Well, I started, you know, here's the weird thing. I started becoming a Twins fan. Like, I got the app, like the ESPN app. I'm like, well, what's your favorite team? Like, Minnesota Twins. Yeah, I'm from New Jersey, y'all. Like, Minnesota, I don't even know where that is, okay? Like, and Twins? What kind of logo is that? Anyway, Minnesota Twins. So I start paying attention. They make it to the playoffs. I'm like, oh, Twins are going to do it this year. They're doing great. I'm like, go Twins! Like I'm fired up. My roommate's a Yankees fan. They're playing the Yankees. We are like locked in. It's just because I bought this Twins jersey off of eBay. That's it. I didn't care. I just had a Twins jersey because I paid for it. I paid like $30 for that. I'm like, that's a hard-earned $30 to the Twins. And now all of a sudden I cared about the Twins. I was a big Twins fan. Why? Because I put my money there. I put my money into it. My heart followed my treasure. My heart followed my treasure. I think it's this, what Jesus is saying a little bit in a different way. We might say it like this. You got to have skin in the game. You got to have skin in the game, right? Or here's a better one. Put your money where your mouth is, because that's what you're really going to care about. That's what you're really going to care about. You know, you worry about the things you have your money most invested in. I got like free Bitcoin one time, and like, you know, like investment apps, they're like, here, I'll give you, put a dollar in and you'll get $20. I'm like, that's a great deal. I can do that math. So I did that, and I'm like, suddenly I have like $20 that's not my own. Like I've never even seen this $20, and it's just like invested in, I don't know, Bitcoin. I'm like, I got notifications popping up on my phone. I'm like, Bitcoin's going up. I'm so rich. Like I've literally have like $20. Like it hasn't changed. It's changed like $20 and like 3 cents. You know what I mean? Like, but I'm so invested all of a sudden. Like, you're like that too. We're all like that. Where our money is, we actually just care more, right? You're worried about your house. You're worried about your properties. You're worried about your investment portfolio. Why? Because that's where your money is. You have anxiety over those things because you care about them. Why? Because that's where you're putting all your value. All your stuff of value is there. So if you want to love what God loves, this is what Jesus is trying to say this. If you want to love what he loves, then put your money where your mouth is. Get some skin in the game. How much money is going towards God's priorities in your life? How much have you committed financially to his priorities and his opportunities? If you want to love God, this is what Jesus is saying. If you're stuck, maybe you're stuck in your spiritual walk, and you're like, I don't really know how to grow anymore. I'll tell you, give to the kingdom. Why? Because where your money is, there your heart will be also. you start giving to, I loved Elijah's story about that compassion kid. I think you know, if you start giving to that, you're going to start caring about that kid because that's where your money's going. You start giving to missions overseas, you should give substantial amounts, you kind of overcommit yourself in those areas, you're going to care a lot more about the outcome of that mission. Why? Because your money's there. This is, Jesus knows this about us. Money has a huge pull on us. And so if we want it to pull us in the right direction, we got to put it in God's priorities. We got to put it in God's opportunities for us because that's what's going to change our hearts. Jesus knows this. Remember, one in 10 verses in the Gospels is about money. He knows how much this could change us or break us. So you got to get skin in the game. If you aren't investing in the kingdom, you're missing out. Not only on joy and on eternal rewards, you're missing out on the transformation and on the fullness of what God is trying to do in every life of every Christian, of every person. All right, desiring more of eternal things, that's good, Mason, but how do I actually do that? I'm gonna step back here and just like, how can we actually do this? Like, what are kingdom priorities? What are kingdom opportunities in my life right now? Like, God, the Holy Spirit's going to guide you in those. He's going to bring up, there's so many great giving stories. There's so many great places you can give. I want to give you three quick practical ways I think that you can start leaning into having kingdom priorities and kingdom and giving to kingdom opportunities in your life. We're going to jump back. I got more for you, but I want to just pause and think of this. So, giving is like one of those things, like anything else, you got to practice it. The more you get, the more you give, the more you do it, the better you get at it, right? The better you get at it. I once gave an unnamed amount of money to a homeless man who then continued to call me, and I continued to give him money, and that was a bad idea. Don't do that. I don't know where that money really went. That was foolish. Anyway, here's the first thing, tithing. Tithing is the minimum standard for Christian giving. Now, you might say, Jesus never commands us to tithe. Okay. Okay, but we don't see a single instance in the New Testament of giving below the tithe. It's the minimum standard. When Jesus comes to fulfill everything, to remake us, giving isn't lessened. Giving is who God is. And Jesus has come to make us like him, like Jesus. So I don't think it makes very much sense for us to give less because Jesus has made us more like him. Because that's actually moving away from who God is. So tithing was a principle in the Old Testament, said 10%, your first fruits go to the Lord. And this was what? To keep them accountable, to actually push them in the right direction. But every instance of the New Testament, we see abundantly more giving, above and beyond the tithe. And this is also not just in the New Testament, it's in the Old Testament. There were tons of offerings. Most of the offerings were above and beyond the tithe, giving throughout the entire Bible is not about the 10%. It's always more than that because it's all God's. He's just saying, I'm going to put this standard in place, and that's kind of like, hey, we're just, like, this is the baseline. This is to get you started. So that's the first step, tithing. Here's three other ways. Free will offerings, I just mentioned them. Give where? To the church. Now you'll be like, all right, I see you. I see you on stage saying, give to the church. I've heard that one before. And I'm, you know what? There's a lot of people, a lot of churches that have not handled their money well. A lot of pastors who have exploited this. There are a lot of ministries that have made this a really difficult thing for people. And that's evil. It's wrong. I'm blessed to say that Foundry is not like that. I hope you can trust me on that. But pretty much, I think there's only like one person that's only partially paid here. And it's none of the pastors. We only have one pastor. So, like, it's not us, you know? It's not me. I'm not a pastor. So, your money's not going to fund somebody's salary. Now, which is biblical, by the way. Very biblical. It's going, and we've talked about it. We talk about it every week. It's going around the world. It's going to fund the mission of it's going to moving the gospel forward both here and abroad. And that's, man, there's nothing better you can give your money to. But the church is also the front lines of God's work in your community. So if you want to give to a place that's going to be able to, handle your money well and distribute it to the places of need, the church is the first place. That's what Jesus wants us to do. Second, here's a good idea. Support some missionaries. We've got a number of different people in our church that are connected to different organizations. Would love to hear somebody say, I feel like God's leading me to support some missionaries. How can I do that? We'd love to do that. The reason being, it's not just missionaries, but also missions around the world. You know, we talked about, Elijah said something about compassion. That's a great one, right? Just getting invested, because why? America has been blessed. You've been blessed. We're all sitting here in the top 2 or 1% of the world's wealth. Like, we've been blessed to be a blessing. So I'm not saying this just because there's, like, not other things you can give to here that are very worthy causes. I'm saying that because America has been uniquely positioned to bless the world through our financial wealth. And so I encourage you, look around the world. What worthy mission, what worthy cause is there? So definitely look at that. Here's a third practical thing I think we can do to align ourselves with kingdom priorities. Make a non-negotiable line item in your budget for giving. And do that before you budget for anything else. That's like number one. Like, it's giving, and then like taxes, because you got to pay those, and then like what you need to survive. And then you can budget for the other stuff. But make giving your number one line item in your budget. That's really practical. When Brooke and I did that, it really helps. It really frees you for more joy. But also just like you can, it's just so helpful. Do that. I recommend that highly. And if you want to know more about budgeting, which I think Jesus cares a lot about, ask my wife. Don't ask me. Okay. We're going to keep going. But those are some practical things. You know, those are some practical things. This is very practical. Very practical stuff. We got to act on it. We're going to keep going. We're going to move forward here. Matthew 26, we're going to keep going 22 through 24 if you want to jump back into there. It says this, the eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Okay. Honestly, I read this and I start reading, you know, I read 21 and I'm like, okay, where my treasure is, there my heart will be also. Got it. Money. Got it. Okay. The eye is the lamp of the body. What does it have to do with money? I don't know. Jesus does that a lot to me. He's like talking in one way, and then he like says something. I'm like, I don't, how does this connect? So what is this? What do lamps and eyes have to do with your money? What do they have to do? Let's dig in a little bit. So that word there, if your eye is healthy, your Bible might say single, might say something else, but healthy or single, I think, are the two more popular translations. That word is haplos. So that means it's the negative particle. So in Greek, that's a. So it's not. So not, and then plus is braided or folded. So what that literally means is not folded upon itself, not braided in together. Or a good translation of that is single, not whole, unified. Healthy is another way to say that, right? So literally, he's saying the single, not braided eye is full of light. He makes a contrast here. The opposite, if your eye is bad, that's literally evil. If your eye is evil, it's going to be your whole body, all of you, will be full of darkness. So you got these two contrasts. You got if your eye is healthy and single and not braided, not mixed up, or your eye is bad. Those are the two contrasts, not good and bad, braided and bad. So some of y'all are sitting here with braids right now. Did you know braids are a sin? I'm just kidding. But what he's talking about is this concept that we see a lot all over the Bible, but especially James 1 talks about this. James 1 says, you don't want to be like the double-minded man who is tossed around like the ship on the waters. He should not expect that he should receive anything from the Lord. In 1 Kings, Elijah is talking to the people of Israel, and they've been serving Baal. And he says, you double-minded people, when will you stop limping between two opinions? If God is the Lord, serve him. If Baal is the Lord, serve him. What's the image here? The image is when our eye is not single, we're interbraided with a bunch of other idols, with a bunch of other things we're worshiping, with other things that we're putting value to that have no real value. The word there at the end, you can't serve God and money, is mammon. You may have heard this, maybe not, but mammon is a Semitic word, so that's Israel, it's Hebrew, it's Aramaic, it's those types of languages, and its base is coming from this Hebrew word that means what is trusted in. And the word has acquired some meaning throughout to actually be essentially the deified version of possessions. So it's mammon is literally kind of like this money god. That's what it is. So he's saying you can't serve both of these things. Can't serve both of these things. And what's happening isn't that I'm serving mammon or I'm serving God. What's happening is I'm trying to serve them both at the same time. We're trying to give value to God and value to money, or pick your thing, what is trusted in. I'm trusting in God, but I'm also trusting in what? You know, I think this is best described in those things like where you say, you know, I trust in God, but just in case, I'm going to diversify my portfolio a little bit, you know? Just in case, that's a betraying word. Tells us about what's going on inside, just in case God doesn't come through. But what he's saying here at the end of it is that you cannot serve both God and money. You can't mix them. You can't mix value. It doesn't work like that. It's like light and dark. It's like being single or braided. Can't have them both at the same time. Can't have your cake and eat it too. We definitely try to do that. I think I try to do that, especially when the pressure's on. Bills are coming in, all that FOMO, newest stuff's coming out. It's fascinating to me that in the New Testament, repentance is often coupled with sudden radical generosity. I'll give you a couple examples. Zacchaeus, the wee little man up in the tree, what does he do? Jesus says, salvation has come today to this house. And what does he do? He says, today I give back all half of my goods to the poor. And if I've cheated anybody, I give it back four times. You know, in the Old Testament, the requirement was add a fifth. So he would have had to give 1.2 times. He says, I'm going to give back four times. Okay, Luke 3. John the Baptist is speaking to people who are coming to him to get baptized for repentance. And it's a couple different people. So the crowds, he says, what do we do? They say, share your excess. Share with those who don't have. The tax collectors are getting baptized, and they're like, what do we do? And he says, don't collect more than you should. Don't be greedy. What about, and the soldiers come, they're getting baptized. He says, what should we do? And he says, be content with your wages and don't extort people. All of those things are about what? Money. Repentance, that's what they're coming to baptize. The baptism was about repenting. That's what John is preaching, repent and believe. And they're saying, and he's like, okay, well, we're being baptized. What do we do now? Deal with your money in a way, like repent with your wallets. Barnabas, souls, he's one of the, in the New Testament, in Acts, he's a massive figure. He disciples Paul and does missions with Paul. And he says, what he does is when he comes to faith, he sells sells a field that he has and lays it at the apostles' feet. Acts 2:42, classic. They're selling their possessions and sharing. They're distributing it as any had need. So turning to God affected everything, including their wallets, and maybe primarily their wallets. It's not a secondary thing for us, but it's become a secondary or tertiary or whatever the fourth tiary thing is. It's down there on our priority list. When we come to Jesus, our first thing on the altar isn't our wallet. It is not our checkbook. It is definitely not my bank account. But if you're not serving God with your money, you're serving your money. That's what Jesus is saying right here. You can't serve both God and money. So if you're serving your money, you're not serving God. We spend money on really dumb stuff. I'm going to read you a few. I was on BuzzFeed last night. Read you a few things I found. This is from Enjoy the Silencio. Spent over $100 or more buying clothes for my avatar on a virtual reality game when I could have spent it on, you know, actual clothes. This one got me. my partner went out to buy vegetables for dinner and came home with a kayak. He forgot the vegetables and the kayak was never used. Here's one. A house in 2007. We are a very young church and it shows. This one got me. I bought a rare exotic cucumber from a guy who said it would give me good luck. These are ridiculous. I love it. Oh. Y'all, how many of you have an exotic cucumber is still somewhere in your house? Yeah, I know you do, Mark. But we spend money on ridiculous stuff. We do. We really do. And we're trying to fill ourselves, right? What Jesus is saying here in this last part, the eye is the lamp of the body, like what he's saying is what your focus is, that's what you're going to be filled with. What you're focused on, the eye, what's coming into your body, that's what you're going to be filled with. So if you're filled with this mixed view of money and God and kind of trying to make them work together, it's not going to be good. He says it's going to be darkness. And how great is that darkness? Can't mix them. But if it's singly focused, then I'm going to be filled with God. So where my treasure is, there my heart is, right? So where I put my money, that's what I'm going to care about. What I desire, I'm going to focus on, right? I care about the twins. I'm going to focus on the twins. I care about Jesus. I'm going to focus on that. What we're focused on, we're filled with. And here's the kicker. This whole thing is about money. Don't get it wrong. Don't try to twist this and make it sound like it's about like just spiritual everything. It is, right? It has a bigger application. We're about to get there. But it's definitely about your money. But Jesus, this is the kicker. And this is why. Because we are desperately in need of being filled with God. And money prevents us from that. Because it tries to stand in the way, and we let it. We value it too much. And what we're focused on, we're filled with. We're separated from God. I think one of the basic fundamental things about humanity is we want to be filled. We want to be satisfied. You just have to take a second and ask yourself, am I happy right now? In life, am I satisfied? And your answer is probably no. And if it's not, you're lying to yourself. You know you're not satisfied in the fullest extent that you could be. Why? Because you're separated from God. Even if you're walking with Jesus, that's something we know is going to happen, but we're not there yet. And if you're not walking with Jesus, you don't have that. You don't know that. But what God wants to do is fill us with himself. That's salvation. That's salvation. So when it comes down to it, it's about being filled with God and restored to him. And what gets in the way more than anything else in our lives is money. We have to repent with our wallets. Why? Because we need to be filled with God. So when we put what we put our treasure toward, where we put it, it's going to change us. It's going to change our desires. Where we desire, we're going to focus on. And what we focus on, we're going to be filled with. So, I got a couple questions here as we finish. What do you want to be filled with? Light or darkness? What do you, vain, empty things that are going to burn up and pass away, or do you want to be filled with the thing that never, the water that never runs dry? Do you want to be filled with him who is the source of all goodness? Eternal rewards, pleasures forevermore. Here's another question. What are you currently giving value to right now in your life than it actually has? What's your pile of trading cards? What's your exotic cucumber? How is God challenging you to change your perspective on the treasure he's given you? Remember, it's not mine. It's really his. I forget that. But it's his. How is he challenging us to respond financially in our repentance? How is he challenging you to go to a different level of generosity? There's so much joy in giving, y'all. That's what he wants to fill us with, his joy. All right, I want to invite you. God wants to do something, I think, in our lives. Maybe you don't have a personal stronghold. Maybe you're doing pretty good with your money. Maybe you give. I want to challenge us. I think every single one of us in this room has an action to make on this, because it's not just, it may not be a personal stronghold for you, but it's certainly a cultural one. It's certainly a sickness of our culture. And if there, we want to be open to what the Holy Spirit wants to do with us, and that means that Jesus is going to deal with Foundry Church as a community at the point of our cultural strongholds. And right now it's money. So I invite you, as we go to prayer, consider these questions.